We're actually going to pick up where we left off last week. Actually, this is the sermon I was supposed to preach last week, and things kind of got out of control last week, talking about the idea of giving. And we see this within the early church, right? That in here, they're in Jerusalem, and they're waiting for the Lord's return. And as they were gathered there, needs started to pop up, right? Because so many people had come from different areas. We talked about this before, right? For Passover, that before Jesus died, everyone had gathered in Jerusalem. And of course, we have the Lord's death, his burial, then his resurrection. And the excitement in the church as Jesus was alive. And then at Pentecost, the Lord ascended on high. And he goes, into Jerusalem, and then Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. So we had people from all over. And imagine, you ever had companies that just wouldn't go home? Right? I'm not asking you to point fingers or name names, but you know how that is, right? It's funny, while we were in Bible school, we had a storm come through and wiped out the electricity. And our apartment that we were in had these propane monitors, these heaters that didn't need electricity, just ran off of the propane. So we were like one of the few places in our school that actually had heat. So we had, probably like 30 people come live with us for 2 weeks while the rest was going on. So we had, kids on that end with the family. Then we had, the men over here, the women over here. We had sleeping bags everywhere. And in a way, it was kind of fun. It was like life sort of being weird and kind of roll with it. It didn't make the lines to the bathroom very long. Everyone kind of pitched in. It was just kind of, we had a couple guys bring grills because we didn't have anything to cook on, right? So we had grills outside cooking and, it was just kind of this neat communal type living. And, but after about 2 weeks, we were kind of glad that everyone went home. And, but it was funny because everyone went home, and about 3 days after that, we came home, and there was a couple sitting on our couch. And we kind of walked up like, hi, we're their friends, but I wasn't expecting them. And all of a sudden, they looked at each other like, oh, we can go home. And so they got so used to coming to our place that they just walked in and made themselves at home. They didn't even think about it. They were like, oh, yeah, we don't live here anymore, and they got up and left. So time has stretched on here in Jerusalem, and there was needs, and so people were selling, and people were sharing, and you see the fellowship, and I talked about last week that really, when, as Christians, generosity should be part of our DNA. When we see people in need, Lord, help me to give, right? That part of this is that as Christians, all that I have belongs to God, and God will provide, God will take care. And as we learn to give, as we learn to be generous, one of the things you'll find out along the way that God will take care of you. You can't outgive God. And so as you give and you help, you'll see God provision. And that's a grace that sometimes it takes a while for people to learn, God, I can trust you with my stuff because it's not my stuff, it's your stuff. And God will provide. And so we see all this. And so this, imagine in the early church here, the first four chapters of Acts, we had this communal living and people are like, hey, I have this. What do you need? How can I pitch in, right? And we have this taking place. Then we get into chapter 5 and that's when problems start coming in. Can I tell you, I'm going to shock you this morning, but churches are full of people. When you have people, you have problems. Right? I would ask for an amen, but I don't know how much of a response I'd get. Right? You have people, you have problems. I remember working at the mill, and we had shift managers. The reason why you had shift managers is because they were the one who were running and organizing when there was a problem. Right? When things were running smooth, you didn't need a manager. You need a manager when there was a problem, right? Same thing in churches, right? There will be problems because we have people, and people are imperfect. You know, people might think, oh, you know, church and everyone's perfect and everyone's wonderful. No, we're just sinners saved by grace. Now, we have problems. We have struggles. And God's working on us. I told you, you know, a couple of years ago, I had someone call me up and said, you know, Pastor, I just want you to know that I saw some of the people that were going into your church, and you need to know. And I said, first of all, I don't need to know nothing. Everyone's welcome, right? I don't need to know everyone's background and all that. We are all here. And God loves all of us. He died for all of us. And God can change all of us. I don't have to be what I used to be. And there's a hope, a cause to living for Christ that the world doesn't have. You know, listen to the world. I mean, turn on the news. And within 5 minutes, it's depressing. What hope is there? And folks, as with Christians, as having Christ in your life, we have peace in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the imperfection. We have a God that loves me, who takes care of me, provides for me, who has a greater plan that he calls us into. And he is a hope for a whole generation that's looking for it. But it's not smooth sailing. There are problems. And take a look here in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. Now this sounds right. We ended chapter 4 this way, right? We had someone selling, bringing all the profits to the church. And people were like, oh, praise God. Look at all this money, right? We can use this for so many things. And so in here, Ananias and Sapphira were like, oh, we have some property. We can sell this too. And he says, what? And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So the situation is slightly different here, right? They turn around and they say, look, we have some property. There's all this need. Look at what the other people did, right? Other people were giving, so we want to give too. And so he sold what they had, and he kept part of it back. Really, at this point, there is no problem with this. We get to verse 3, now we have the problem. It says, but Peter said, Ananias, why is Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Right? It says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after you sold it, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. He died. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. You talk about a church service everyone's going to remember. My wife asked me, you know, about halfway through the week, she goes, you know, John, can you give me a few points of your sermon so that, you know, the songs, she wants the songs to go along with it. And some weeks, there just aren't good points to sing a song about, you know. And so this week, she's like, well, what should I do? I said, well, you got a song, give money or die. If you don't give, you die. And she goes, you know, that tune doesn't catch on. But that's what happened. They came, and Ananias and Sapphira brought this gift and gave part of it and kept part of it. And Peter calls them out because what had happened was they had said they had given it all when they only gave part. Now we talk about this, we need to realize right off the bat that the issue isn't the giving. Right? It's not a matter of, hey, you know, churches oftentimes get a bad rap. You know, people are looking for money. I had a voice uncle ask me once, you know, is there a lot of money in this? You know, are you going to make a lot of money doing ministry? I said, not the way I do it. You know, there's no fancy jets and fancy cars. There's none of that. We're just humble people serving the Lord. And you guys know, right, the reputation. You know, you see some of these guys that are on TV and, you know, they got the flashy rings and the, you know, and it seems to be all about the money. And they'll use passages like this to kind of guilt you. Say, look, if you want to be blessed, then you have to give. And if you don't, God's going to zap you
And so people are like, okay, I'll give. Or people can look at giving as sort of a lottery ticket, right? If I give and give, then God's going to give me more. If I give $100, God's going to give me $1,000. And so people give for the wrong reasons. They give to get back. And those aren't biblical reasons. We talked about that last week. But in this case, giving wasn't the issue. Well, take a look here what Peter says to Ananias. So Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price on the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? It was your property. Right? No one was making them sell it. What was happening was they saw other people doing it and they're like, hey, I want that too. And I'm guessing people were like, oh wow, how wonderful it is that, and we looked at last week, that Joseph gave. Oh wow, what a wonderful guy Joseph is. Well, I want people like me too, right? So I'm going to do this too. So they sold the land, but it wasn't not your own. Then after it was sold, was it not your own control, right? After you sold it, you could have done anything you wanted to it. So what was the problem? Is that they lied. They said they gave all of it when they only gave part. If they had been honest, there wouldn't have been a problem. See, it wasn't the giving that was the problem. It was the lying. I remember growing up, I don't know if you guys, some of you guys are about my age. And maybe you got the same speech from your parents. Because they would ask you a question. And the punishment for lying was always greater than the punishment for whatever the deed was. My parents had no tolerance for lying. If I found out you lied to me, the punishment you got was way more than what you did for what the original crime was. Right? Don't lie to me. God warns the church. He says, and to all the churches shall know that I am he who what? Searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one according to your works. The Lord is concerned with our heart condition in things. He's not impressed with the show. He's not impressed with the, in this case, it was the dollar amounts. It's our hearts. And that's what, you know, we talk about Christianity not being a religion, but a relationship. God is more concerned over why we do than what we do sometimes. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants us to do what's right. But God is concerned over the heart issue. In Matthew chapter 5 and through that, we had the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about, you know, that you have heard it said that you should not commit adultery, right? Don't go cheating on your spouse. But it says if you looked at someone with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. God's concerned over the heart. He says you should not murder. But if you've been angry with someone, you've committed murder where? In your heart. God wants you to want to in these areas. So Ananias and Sapphira made this plan of we want the sort of showboat. We want everyone to think how great we are. We want everyone to believe that we're giving everything, how generous we are. But we're not that, and we're keeping things back. Like if they would have came out and said, hey, we sold this property, we give half of it, that's cool. That's fine. But the lie to puff themselves up, the lie to be grander in other people's eyes is what's at here, right? So we look at this going through that the problem wasn't the giving, but it was the pride and the lies that go along with it. And it's interesting because one of the things he says here is that you have lied. Look what he says here. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to what? Lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? He concludes this saying what? You have not lied to men, but to God. We can say, wait a minute, he did lie. He told the apostles, he told the church, we're giving everything when they didn't.
it's interesting, he turns around and he says, no, you've lied to God. Well, God knew, right? Don't ever think you're trying to pull a fast one on God, because God knows all things. But I find it's interesting that he makes this correlation between the church and God, because we are the body of Christ. We're the family of God. That in here, the relationship we have. Now, some of you guys all have family around, and I'll let you decide if that's good or bad. I'll be the judge of that. But I'll use myself as an example that my family is all, but my closest family member is probably 1,300 miles from here. That's a long ways. Actually, I just shared with you guys that my brother and mom are in Florida, and the hurricane came through, and being on this side of things, and I'm praying for them, but there's nothing I can do. You know, my mom's been in and out of the hospital, and I just can't drop everything and see how she's doing. But you are often closer to me than my family is because of the distance. And maybe some of you, that church is that deeper connection because of your faith. You don't have brothers or sisters, or maybe your family aren't believers. And so you're like the odd man out, right? You're the religious nut in the family. I thought it was interesting when my sister-in-law started to have kids, and my wife would go shop for them. And everything was, you know, Christmas, whatever it was, there'd be a track or there'd be something about Jesus loves you. She goes, I want to be that religious aunt, right? You all have a religious aunt. You know, someone in your family that had, right? It's like, oh, amen for religious aunts. And well, I'll say uncles too, right? But someone who's investing and playing into that family, yeah, right? So, you know, someone who has the bumper sticker on their vehicle, right? Praise God for that. But we are the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if you live in Stockton, Searsport. I think this morning we got someone from California, right? We're the family of God. And when God takes it personal, right? You mess with my kid, ooh, that doesn't go well. Right? I see Natalie say, yeah, don't mess with Mama Bear, right? Right? Why? Because it's my kid. Right? You do it to my kid, you do it to me. God feels that way about the body of Christ. And we see this played out. Saul, before he became Paul, he was a religious leader who's going out and killing Christians, persecuting Christians. And Jesus stopped him in the street. And he says, look, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting whom? Me. He was persecuting the church. Jesus said, if you do this to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. So we talk about the idea of being generous. We talk about caring. We're doing that within the body of Christ. Is that as I am helping you, I'm helping Christ. If I give to you, I'm giving to Christ. It's a type of worship. But Christ now lives in you. And so we see this within the body of Christ, the unity we have with one another. You know, I shared with you, now the phone ringing off the hook. And I'm getting a lot of phone calls of you know, politics. Right? I mean, is it just me? I got a phone call the other day. Donald Trump called me. Push one to talk to him personally. And it only cost, I don't know how much it was per minute. And I was like, yeah, right? But now I'm getting a lot of calls of people because times are tough. Money's tight. And so people will call and say, hey, pastor, can your church provide for us? Right, Matt? You've been down that road. And you guys know, if you look at the bulletin, and we've been kind of struggling to meet budget. And, you know, I was like, we don't have a lot. We don't have a budget for these things. It's just. But I always encourage them. I said, but come and be a part of us. Come and be a part. Because we're a generous, loving people. Right? Isn't that what families are supposed to be? Right? I can guarantee it that as long as my family is here, we will never starve to death. Because someone here is going to throw food at me. And I don't mean like tomatoes and all that, right? That's a whole different thing, right? But we will. We'll take care. And what can I do? I'll give what I have. I'll beat that. I'll help you, right? I'll get on your roof. I'll pitch that up. I'll give you a ride, right? These aren't organized things. But because we're the family of God, because Christ is our head, we do this for each other. Not for accolades. And that's what was happening here. Oh, look how great I am. God has no desire to be impressed by our greatness, by our generosity. And we see this played out, right? So Ananias comes in and says, oh, here's all the money. I sold this. Look how grand I am. And Peter's like, the Lord told me that's not it. You lied. And Ananias dropped dead. And they carried him out of church. Then it says, and about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what happened. And Peter answered her, tell me, will you sell the land for so much? And she said, yes. Uh-oh. Right? She came in. They were in cahoots. That's a good word, cahoots. They're in cahoots together. They had planned this. Right? It wasn't a spare of the moment, but they had gotten together and said, look, we're going to lie and say we gave it all so that we get the applause. They're going to think how wonderful we are. And Peter said to her, how is it that you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. Like, whoa. See, it's not about the giving, but it's about the pride and the lies. And here we have the early church forming, and God wanted to show how serious he takes these things. Right? And somehow along the way, we've lost the seriousness of sin. We've lost the seriousness of serving God. I kind of pick and choose. I do what I want. We don't talk about things like holiness anymore, of living a life that God wants me to live. We're taught to be selfish and self-centered. And those things are empty. And there's joy in serving Jesus. Jesus rebuked the religious leaders. He says, therefore, when they do their charitable deeds, he says, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets. Then they may have the glory of men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. Right? The religious leaders, the rich people, you know, they would hire someone to announce that they were coming. Imagine that. Dun, dun, dun. You know, wouldn't it be kind of neat that every time I got up to the pulpit, I had a little theme song? But actually, yeah. Right? Yeah, like, yeah, that wouldn't work well. But they would actually hire someone and say, oh, the illustrious so-and-so. And people would like, oh, wow, look how wonderful they are, right? When you go through it and give to the offering, because they had a box for the treasury, and the rich people would come with their coins and they would drop them in, boom, clunk, 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 and everyone could hear about how much that was going in, and it's like, wow, right? And Jesus says, look, don't be like them. They have their reward, right? They'll get the accolades of men, but God's not impressed. So pride. God says he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. The other aspect of this is lying. God hates lying. Actually, Proverbs tells us, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Those who deal truthfully are his delight. God hates lying. And it's shameful. You know, we're in a political year. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not. There's some presidential election going on. And you see all the ads, and it's all accusations, and so-and-so, and I've given up because I don't even know what's true anymore. Now, I know, like, Facebook tries to help you with the fact checkers. Yeah. Right? We're so used to being lied to. God hates lying. Part of it is because Jesus says, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The nature of God, God is truth. He wants you to know truth. He wants you to live in truth. And put away lying. And here we had the church at start. A beautiful thing was going on. And Satan was looking for an opportunity to get a full foothold into the church. Because we look at this. Satan is looking for an opportunity. He loves to mess things up. You try to do right, and Satan likes to get in there and plays with our emotions. He gets in there and plays with our ambitions. He plays on our arrogance and in our pride. We see this taking place. We're warned. Paul told the Corinthians, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Christians, don't be fooled. Satan is out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is trying to get you off the path that God wants you on. I'm sure I've used this illustration before, but we're getting into that time of year. Every fall, the Wizard of Oz used to play on TV. And my mom, I'm looking at you, Mom, because she's probably watching this. It's your fault, Mom. Made us watch The Wizard of Oz. And especially when I was younger, I was scared to death of the flying monkeys. Those guys are creepy. But anyways. But the whole premise of the movie, you have Dorothy who needs to get home. And there's only one thing she has to do. Follow the yellow brick, what? Road. Actually, the whole thing starts. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick. Follow the yellow brick, right? Now some of these young ones are like, what in the world is he talking about? They have no clue what I'm talking about. You've missed it. But that was it. Follow, stay on the road. And all the problems Dorothy has is because what? She gets off, right? She had one job. Stay on the road. And she wanders all over the place. Christian, stay on the path God has laid for you. Don't wander off it. And Satan tries all he can to distract us, to get us off the path that he wants us to follow. And we see this using Ananias and Sapphira, put lies into their head of saying you can get away with this. Oh, think of all the things that people are going to think about you. You're going to think how wonderful you are, how generous you are. You're going to pour all these things in there. Imagine how all the accolades you're going to get. Satan is just there. Peter. You think of Peter. Jesus told me he's heading towards the cross. And Peter's like, no way, Lord. In Matthew, Jesus rebukes Peter, says, and he turned to Peter and said, get behind me what? Satan, you are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of things of God, but of the things of men. We see this in the church, that pride and lies are starting to get in, and God came down with a heavy hand. To show that he disapproved. This isn't what needs to take place. And I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm glad every time I've lied, God hasn't zapped me. I'm thankful that every time I was proudful, he has not zapped me. And I bet you think the same thing, because there'd probably be a big grease stain right where you're sitting, because God's gracious. But don't take God's graciousness as an acceptance of it. And we see this throughout Scripture. Oftentimes God will make an example to show he disapproves of it. That God doesn't want you to be filled with lies. He doesn't want you to be puffed up with pride. How can I know? He doesn't want this part of the church? We look at Ananias and Sapphira. We only have to see this every time. But it's interesting, because at the end of this, fear came into the church. I mean, imagine, if you will, if the service here, all of a sudden someone dropped dead in the service because they lied or did something. You'd be like, you know, right? I mean, it's almost like, remember during COVID and someone coughed? And all of a sudden everyone's like, whoo, right? I mean, we're in a restaurant when things were just starting to open up, and I don't know, I got something that had a little And so I was like, and it's worse because you're trying to stop, and it makes it just worse. And then the waiter wasn't doing a good job because I had no water. So I'm like, and people are starting to look, and my wife's like, stop it. I'm like, I can't help it. And the more you try to stop it, the more you're, right? You know, like, okay, I'm closing my mouth, and you're through your nose, and then you get the post-nasal drip that goes down and causes you to cough a little bit more. And you know, people are like, she goes, people are looking. I'm like, I can't help it. It's making it real. Imagine the church, you know? They fell down, and people were like, whoa! And fear came into the church. Look what it says here. So great fear came upon all the church, upon all those who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all in one accord on Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed him highly. And believers were increased, added to the Lord, multiplied, multitudes of both men and women. An interesting thing happened. As Christians started to act like Christians, as Christians started to stand upon what is true and what's not, right? And we need some more of that in our world today. We have too many Christians that are really kind of squishy on, thus saith the Lord, this is what God says. And we're like, well, I don't want to offend, or I don't want to judge. I'm not judging. This is what the Bible says. And Lord, I don't want to be squishy on the truth, because people are going to be not like me, or people might unfriend me, or people might, and so be it. Because an interesting thing starts to happen. I was, before the service, we were talking, and I believe this world is getting darker. It's becoming a darker place. And I think a lot of people know it. I think there's a lot of people that says, you know, some of what's going on is not right. I think God has written his natural law in our hearts. I think there's a conscience out there, for even for unbelievers. And I think a lot of them are kind of seeing what's going on, and they're saying, this isn't right. But that allows us as a church to shine brighter. That you have an opportunity to be a witness. Because you're like, I can't do that. I can't agree with that. I can't go there. And as by doing that, the fear of the Lord will push some people away, but there's others who are drawn to it. They're saying, this is what I'm looking for. You know, hopefully this morning, if you're here and you're looking for the Lord, you know, look past this guy. Look at his word, and hopefully his spirit will confirm these things in your heart. The Bible says, if you seek God, you will find him. God does not want to be hidden, but found if you seek him. And the question is, when you look into the mirror of his word, sometimes we like, but oftentimes we don't like what we see. Then it's like, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Change me. Strengthen me. And Lord, help me to grow more like you. Now this morning, I hope as the Spirit of God talked to you. He said, these things are true, not because the guy up front said so, because the word of God says so. His word is true.
His church is established here, that we are chosen for such a time as this, to be a witness.
Problems are going to arise. Hiccups are going to come up. There's going to be conflicts. We're going to follow the book of Acts for a little bit longer. I figured next month we'll try to do that, and then we'll kick into Christmas in a few weeks. But we see this beauty of the church. It's not a matter of numbers. It's not a matter of buildings or programs. But it's the people of God who have gathered as a family, the follower of our Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as problems arise, Lord, help us to seek you for the solution. Help us stand fast on the truth of your word. Unite us together in unity of spirit, Lord, to care for and watch out for each other. And that you get all the glory. Only you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.